I enjoy teaching scripture during the week, as many of you know, and I'm very grateful that you pray for me. And particularly on a Friday, I have a little group of seven children from year five at Avondale School, and we have a Bible study together for about half an hour, which is really fantastic. Kids are really looking forward to coming, and we have a great time together. We talked about various characters in the Bible. And you know, there are some wonderful characters described in the Bible itself. You know, some of them are described with all their imperfections. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And God accepts us even though we're not perfect. You know, we talked about characters like Samson. We talked about characters like Solomon. We talked about characters like David. We talked about characters like Abraham. All of these in the scriptures, all of those characters, the Bible doesn't hide their imperfections. They're all stated there quite clearly. Yet there are those few in the Bible whose lives are eminently holy, free from public and moral deformities. You know, you can see the character of Enoch, see the character of Samuel, see the character of Daniel in the lion's den, see the character of Job. These people are recorded in the scriptures, revealing their character, their godly character, and the way that God has used them. You know, we know that no one is perfect except Jesus. But these characters, as I mentioned, there is no record of their sin at all. In fact, the character that we're looking at this morning, the character of Caleb, and last week we recognised that we have a Caleb in our midst, which is really fantastic. God was felt it necessary to give his own estimate of his character, which is interesting. And this is the scripture that I guess is my key verse this morning. But my servant, and maybe we read it together. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land he went to, and his descendants shall inherit it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, followed me fully, him I shall bring into the land that I have promised him. And so this morning we looked at the beginning of the story. The children of Israel had been released from Egypt with God's help, went through the Red Sea, provided water, provided food, were able to be victorious in battles they faced, arrived at the beginning of the promised land, the land of Canaan. And there, Moses selected 12 people out of the tribes of Israel to go and visit the promised land. I didn't get someone to read those particular names, so I don't know whether I can keep reading those names in the beginning of chapter 13. But they all went, and of course Caleb was one. They went into the promised land. And they went right up to Bethel, through Hebron. And in the promised land they saw the fruits, the grapes, the pomegranates, and the land was flowing with milk and honey. And they were able to return some of these back. They also, however, saw that there were fortified cities, large fortified cities. Some of the people in the land were giants, and they were certainly well armoured. And so when they returned to give their account after 40 days, there were some that were very fearful of going into the land. God had promised them, but they were fearful. There was only two of them that believed that they could go into the land, Caleb and Joshua. And the people followed the leadings of the ten. And of course they got really upset with Joshua and Caleb wanting to stone them. And Moses and Aaron fell to the ground in great distress, interceded on their behalf. God wanted to destroy them. Ultimately, the ten who believed they could inherit the land were struck down. And the people, having been told that all those above the age of 20 would not return, but would die in the wilderness, the people decided, well, perhaps we should do what we were told originally. And so they went off into the promised land after Moses told them that God was not going to be with them. And they fought and were destroyed and they ran back. And as a result, here they are running back. And as a result, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. 40 days, 40 years. Okay. So what can we learn from the character of Caleb this morning? Perhaps this is an encouragement to us. I've entitled my talk, pinned my talk around three thoughts. The spirit he possessed, the course he adopted, and the distinction he received. Okay, my first point. The spirit he possessed. The verse says, as I said before, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. You know, as I look through Caleb's life, Caleb had a spirit of faith, a spirit of hope, and a spirit of willing to be obedient. He could see that they could go in and possess the land, though the land was full of fortified cities, though the land had giants in some places. Caleb believed in God, that God would allow them to possess the land. He had a hope of God's promises, and he was willing to be obedient to him. You know, I guess my favourite verse in the Bible is the one in Proverbs chapter 3. You know it. I know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. We are told to have a spirit of faith. A spirit to trust God in all the circumstances of our life. Maybe we don't understand what circumstances we're going through, but God is in charge. We need to trust him with our whole heart. You know, Caleb also had a spirit of self-denial. He was willing to go in believing that he was going to win the battles. Caleb understood that the fight might be fierce, the battles might last long, there would be pain and suffering involved, but these were secondary to his willingness to obey God. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, I'm told as a Christian that Jesus says to us, anyone who will want to come after me should deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I've talked about what that means. It means putting Jesus first place in our life. Weighing up benefits, but just simply following him, trusting him. Putting others first and being obedient to him. You know, the people were not willing to deny themselves at all. But Caleb certainly was. Not only did he have a spirit of self-denial, he had a preserving spirit. You know, it's interesting. He knew, having brought back out of that particular area where he went up to investigate the land, he knew that God was going to give him the land. And, you know, he spent about 45 years waiting for the chance for him to go in possess what God had already promised him. You know, sometimes we go through school. Some of us go through school and into university. It's a long time, isn't it? But God has got a point in all of that. Caleb spent 40 years in the wilderness, and I'm sure in those years he believed that God was going to bring him back and going to give him the possession that he wanted. What about us? What about you? Do you possess a different spirit? A spirit of denial? Are you willing to deny your ego to tell others about Jesus? Are you willing to deny your comfort in order to obey God? Thinking about that, when I go to camp, I guess when you go and do missions, there's sometimes that you've got to put up with all sorts of discomfort. But you do it because you want to obey Jesus. Are you willing to deny your popularity to obey God? Do we have a different spirit? My second point was the course he adopted. He chose the path of consecration. And consecration means set apart. He was willing to be set apart for God's glory and God's purpose. I sat in a church service last night, and one of the ladies that was speaking was talking about the fact that we were unique, we were different, because God chose us from the foundations of the earth. We were created for a purpose. We were created, and he wants us to be consecrated to him. Last week I talked about the tabernacle. The priests were consecrated, set apart. It's interesting, I'd love to talk about this on one day. It's interesting they were consecrated, but they had blood placed on their ear, placed on their tongue, and placed on their toe. Interesting. What they hear, what they say, and where they go. As Christians, we are set apart for God's purpose. Set apart, though we may not be in the world but of the world, we've been set apart for the purpose of God. Caleb's spirit was one of consecration. His mind, his heart, and everything else was set aside for the service of God, in obedience, seeking to glorify God. Not only was he consecrated, but he had the desire to be totally obedient to him. The scriptures teach us, he followed me fully, says God. It's not something that we do just as it happens. We have to have the desire to follow God wholly. You know, the Bible talks about this concept of wholly following God. Says, if you love the Lord your God, you do it with all your heart, with all your being, with all your soul, with all your strength. It's not a half-hearted thing. I've got to choose to follow God wholly. Whatever you do, the Bible says, do with all your, not to please men, but to please your Father who is in heaven. It's a matter of consecrating your life, seeking God's purpose, and doing it with every ounce of your ability so that God can be glorified through it. Greatest commandment is to love God and love our neighbour as ourselves. And so my third point is the distinction he received. God saw Caleb, and I should be looking over here, shouldn't I? I'll have to get out of that habit, won't I? God saw Caleb. He approved his life and publicly commended him for it. The text shows us, God says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, followed me fully, and I will give him the inheritance that I promised him. Interesting. Who do I seek approval from? Perhaps your teacher, perhaps your parents, perhaps your idol, perhaps your friends. But as I said, the scriptures teach us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, whatever you do, work it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. An inheritance from the Lord, and since you know, you will receive a reward. It is the Lord you are serving. And of course, track when you go and get a graduation certificate. I didn't realise until I was involved in school that, you know, kindergarten children graduate from kindergarten. And when you get to year 6, they graduate from year 6. When you get to year 12, you graduate from year 12. And then you go to university and you graduate from university. Crazy, isn't it? Caleb received a glorious reward. Scriptures teach us, him will I bring into the land he went to, and his descendants shall inherit it. It was the land where the giants lived. It's interesting when I read it. It says that he drove out the giants. It doesn't say that he actually fought the giants, but he went to the land where the giants were. God promised those who have a different spirit rest. Enter my rest, says the Lord. Those with a different spirit, God promises abundance. I have come that ye might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. You know, God is concerned about our character, you know, more than what we do. How do we develop character? First of all, committing our lives completely to the work of the Holy Spirit, allowing him to do what he wants to do in our lives. We need to let go of bad habits and change the way we think, develop new godly habits. My greatest desire, and I trust it's yours, is that one day, when I stand before the throne of God, I would hear these words the Lord saying, Neil, well done, good and faithful servant. The race is before you. My longing desire is to stand before the Lord and hear those words. I will remain faithful to him. I want to do whatever he wants me to do. I want to do it wholeheartedly, so that he receives the glory and the honour. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this man called Caleb. We thank you that he had a different spirit. We thank you that he followed you fully. And we thank you that you blessed him richly. And this morning, Father, we thank you that we have the example in front of us of this man who challenges us as we go from this place this morning to have a different spirit. A spirit who wants to follow you fully. Making that choice in everything that we say, everything that we think, and everything that we do. And Father, we know that you'll bless us, not so that we are blessed and excited by that, but Father, that we cause others to be blessed by sharing our faith with them. And for this we would thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.